Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, and I'd like to read the first few verses of this chapter. Now, today I'm not going to be sharing a detailed exposition of a passage of Scripture. I want to study one word that is used in many different passages where God says this particular word is necessary for our spiritual growth, to where we reflect Christ and grow spiritually. And that word that we want to focus on today is the word perseverance. And so I'd like you to note that word is found in our passage today. And that's in Romans 5. I'm going to be beginning reading in verse 1 so that we have the context. And I'd like for you to follow along with me as I read this passage. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's bow in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, today as we study your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts to what you have to say. And God, that we could apply it in our lives so that we can be those who are growing spiritually. And especially who have the character of you, Lord Jesus, in our life. So, Lord, work your will with everyone here in this place today, I ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. At the 1983 Australian Ultra Marathon, which is a foot race of 544 grueling miles between Sydney and Melbourne, Australia, there was an odd competitor who showed up. Everyone else was a highly trained, commercially sponsored professional. But Cliff Young was a 61-year-old farmer. And unlike the others, who were clad in professional running shoes and cool athletic gear with sponsored logos, Cliff wore a loose white shirt, flopping over baggy overalls. He had rubber galoshes over his boots, and he had a white baseball cap hung with sun-screening flaps. The officials laughed, thinking they were being set up for some kind of joke. But Cliff was serious, and he was ready to run. His name went down on the roster. Someone pinned a number on his faded overalls, and he was ready to go. Uncertainty about Cliff continued, as all the runners lined up to start the race. Was this old man really going to compete against young, healthy, trained athletes with sculpted bodies? Some still thought it was a joke. Others thought him naive or perhaps a little deranged. Some jeered, and some even shouted insults. And when the starting gun fired, the runners took off. The crowd laughed at the contrast between the young contestant's disciplined strides and Cliff's odd-gated shuffle. But 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, no one was laughing. Cliff Young crossed the Melbourne finish line almost 10 hours ahead of the second-place runner. The astounded press descended on him en masse. How did this 61-year-old farmer accomplish such a spectacular run? Well, there were two facts that emerged. First, as a shepherd too poor to own a horse, Cliff often herded entire herds of sheep alone, sometimes running day and night to keep up with them. The second, he didn't realize that runners in ultra marathons stopped at night to rest. Nobody told him he could do that. He ran the entire distance, and let me remind you, that is 544 miles. He ran that entire distance without sleeping. Cliff Young demonstrated a primary attribute required to win any long-distance race, that attribute of perseverance. And perseverance is one of the character traits that God says we need to develop in our life through the power of Christ as we obey His word. We need to develop this if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to be used of Him. And I've been amazed how often this word, perseverance, is used in the scripture. And we're going to look at a number of them today. One is 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6, which says this: add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. Now, in some translations, the word perseverance appears as patience. But the Greek word translated perseverance is much more meaningful and applicable. Patience is a word that usually describes waiting. Waiting in a doctor's office, or waiting in a line, or waiting to get into some event. You sit there or you stand there and basically do nothing until something is accomplished. You can't continue in the work that you've been doing or what you want to do. Perseverance is different. Much different. It describes remaining steadfast, making progress, going forward, continuing to do what you're supposed to do as a Christian as you wait on God to work in a particular situation. Think of the English word itself, persevere. The prefix P-E-R or per actually means to go through. So perseverance is the ability to go through a severe time. Perseverance turns ordeals into opportunities. And it gives us the opportunity to finish what we have begun, to outlast pain and sorrow, to strive on until we accomplish that which is difficult, and through all of that, to demonstrate the grace and faith in God that shows up among those who are followers of Jesus Christ. No wonder God says it's a part of Christian growth, a part of character, a part of the life of Christ within each and every one of us. And so as we study this morning, I'd like you to notice with me how important perseverance is, how it can be developed in our life, and what will happen as we are those who persevere. The first point I want to share with you is this: the power of persevering. First of all, perseverance is that which produces trust. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, we read these words about Job from the Old Testament. Here it says, "You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Now, Job was a man who experienced a series of mind-numbing disasters. They literally came one after another, all on the same day. Satan was allowed by God to destroy his wealth, his servants, all 10 of his children, and as I said, all in a single day. Then the devil struck Job with a painful, disfiguring disease. He had boils, and the scripture says, from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet, all over his body. And despite all of this, Job never gave up. He continued to trust God no matter what was happening in his life. In fact, in Job 13, verse 15, Job makes an incredible statement. He says in that passage, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." He's talking about God. He says, even if God kills me or allows me to die, I will continue to trust in him. And God rewarded the perseverance of Job, and towards the end of his life, gave him double of everything that he had had before. And the restoration of Job's wealth and family was an obvious blessing. We can all see that. But I believe there's an even greater blessing in seeing how God worked in his life. And it's found through the whole book. And it's found especially through what he says at the end of the book. Job learned that God, who is big enough to control all facets of the universe, he not only created all things, but he governs all things. God who can do that is certainly able to direct the paths of his people and help us when we're going through difficult times. Our God is able. and will work in those ways. Job 42, verse 2. Job said this, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. One of the most difficult things in going through trial and trouble, of sickness and suffering, of persecution and problems, is to be reminded of the fact and then trust in the fact and believe in the fact that God is working through these situations to glorify Himself and to perfect us, to mature us. It's often in times like that that I'm sure you go to passages like I do, like Romans 8, 28, that we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Or Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And many other passages that we go to in those times. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God is working in all those situations, and Job came to the place where he believed that. The key was that he continued to trust God. He persevered. And God wants us to do the same. In Dina Yohe's book entitled, You Are Not Alone, she writes about the pain of dealing with a suicidal, addicted, depressed, and self-harming daughter. And her book has been an enormous help to many worried parents because she's very honest about the prolonged pain of having a child in crisis. One of the hardest things, she said, is realizing this. The journey might not be over quickly. She even said later, how I hoped it would be over quickly. But lowering expectations helped me to be more patient with the process, especially when we experienced setbacks. And she found great comfort in repeating a simple phrase. You could probably memorize it. I'm going to give it to you twice. The phrase that has really helped her is this. I can't. God can. So I think I'll let Him. I can't. God can. So I think I will let Him. And she has persevered, and God has used her in a remarkable way in her family situation, but especially in ministering to others. You see, as we persevere and have faith and trust in God, then that faith and trust is increased. It grows. So, perseverance produces trust. Not only that, perseverance produces transformation. Think of the scripture passage that we read this morning out of Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Says not only that, but we glory in tribulations. And did you notice that tribulations is plural? There's many of them in this lifetime. Jesus is the one who said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. And so Romans 5 talks about that. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Character is the work of Christ in our life. The life of Christ being lived out in our life. Hope is that settled confidence of the fact that God is working in this situation. He's working with me. He's working with others. In fact, most often, I believe, He's working in ways we don't even know. Oftentimes we can't comprehend. I don't know how many times I've looked at a situation I've been facing and I've thought, I don't see any good in this. I don't see any good that can happen in this. Times I've looked at it and thought, every way I can think of, the only result is bad news. That's our flesh, and we deal with those struggles where God wants us to redirect our thoughts on Him and realize that Romans 8, 28 is true. By the way, I've checked in my Bible. It's still there. So is Philippians 1, 6. So is 2 Corinthians 4, 15. So is Psalm 46. And we could go on and on. But see, brethren, that's where we need to go. And as we do so, taking the Word of God and obeying it, He produces trust, but transformation. People begin to see Christ in our life. People begin to see the hope that we have. And what's that hope? It's the steadfast confidence that God is working. And that's what He wants to produce in your life and in mine. So, we become more like Christ. We mature. And in other words, perseverance is maturity. It's part of the process, some of the steps. And we've got to have that to grow spiritually in Christ. Here's the secret that I've learned in my lifetime. You don't need to go searching for trouble and trials. They'll come in your life. And if you're here today and say, I've not had any trouble or I haven't had any for quite some time, just get ready. It's coming. I don't know what it would be. I don't want it on you or me, but it's part of the process of learning how to trust God and have perseverance. This world is stocked with problems galore. And when those tough circumstances assail you, don't run, don't hide, don't quit. It is always too early to quit. And we're tempted in those times. There are some people that go through rough times, and what do? They put their Bible on a shelf. They don't pray anymore. They stop coming to church. They stop serving. And that is just where Satan, the enemy, wants us. It's then that we need to persevere. And going through those troubles and trials, especially then, is when we need to be in the Word like never before, and we need to pray like never before, and we need to continue to come to church no matter what. And sometimes I know that that's all we can do sometimes, is just drag ourselves here and get here because of all that's going on. But that's where God wants us. Because we're encouraged by the Word of God and by the music of God that we get to sing and by others around us. And so we need to continue doing that and continue serving the Lord. That's all part of perseverance. It is, brethren, it is. And maybe it's not true in your life, but when I'm going through trials, at times I don't feel like reading the Word. At times I don't feel like praying, honestly. I say this because I have been a pastor and have the opportunity from time to time, like today, to continue to preach the Word of God. There have been some times I haven't felt like going to church. I just have to admit that. I remember a few times I thought that, and then I thought, no, you got to get up. You're the pastor. You can't stay home. You know? You got to go. This is what assails us with the problems and trials of life. And it's then that we have to keep on keeping on. So I want to encourage you, stay in the Word. Continue to pray. Attend church. And be faithful in service. And you will experience the mercy and compassion and long-suffering of God, as he talks about in James 5:11 with Job. We'll experience that. He'll fill our heart with hope, that settled confidence that he's working. And the result will be that Christ will be seen. As I study this and focus on this one word, I've come to the conclusion that no one can become a true disciple or follower of Jesus Christ unless they persevere. And I say that based on the passages that we have read and more that we're going to look at. So let's continue. Second point is this. The process for persevering. First of all, we've got to have a scriptural perspective. I've emphasized that. Having the Bible, going to the promises of God. But I want to share with you just a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Oh, let me say that again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What does God call what we're going through? He calls it a light affliction. And there are times I've looked at that and I thought, Lord, this isn't light. But he calls it that as we compare this truth to eternity. And it is but for a moment compared to eternity. And it's bearing forth the glory of God in our life now. And it will in the future. And once we get to heaven, it'll be there for all of eternity. Christians can have joy in tribulation because they know that Christ is transforming them and helping them. God is moving us. We're going forward. And that's where we need to be. Another verse is this, Romans 8:18. Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Glory is found in Romans 8:18. It's found in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. What is glory? What is glory? Glory is Christ in us and Christ being seen through what we say and what we do. And I wanted to share with you about one man that I've seen this with. And his name is Eugene Bolko. I have a picture of him there in your notes. He's a missionary that our church supports. in Ukraine. In fact, he's a native Ukrainian. We support several missionaries there in the Ukraine, and it's just interesting how God has worked with all of them, but I think of especially Eugene. And I think of it especially because of the last, what would it be, almost 2 years. After they were invaded by Russia, every Ukrainian's life changed. Every one of them. There have been millions of refugees. Literally all over the world, but especially in Poland and Romania and other places close. But I think of our brothers and sisters in Christ there. And our pastors there. And it's so interesting to think of Eugene and what he's doing now and how God has used him and continues to use him. It was about a year and a half ago, I think, that he came to a missionary conference in our church, and he had his wife with him. And there was a time of question and answer up in front of the congregations, and people were asking them questions. And I don't even remember what the question was that was given to his wife and how the direction of the conversation ended up where it was. But she ended up talking about the press and the pressure and the stress that she and their three daughters have been under, as well as Eugene, because of the war and all that's going on. And she just mentioned something that I have not forgotten, and that is that she said she and her daughters started losing their hair. Now, they haven't gone bald, but the pressure, the stress was remarkable to where that's what was happening with them. And yet, as she was saying this, there was a look of confidence and of peace that only God could give somebody. You've seen it with people. And I saw it there with them. And I think of Eugene. He's not only pastoring a church, but at one time, this wasn't at the conference, but another time, they'll send videos over and we get to see, and they talk to us and on the video and let us see what they're doing. We're able to send them some humanitarian aid that they distribute to the churches and the people and those who are not saved, and ways to minister to people. And showed him helping unload a big semi-truck, and suddenly hear the air raid sirens go on, signifying that missiles or drones or maybe even aircraft are coming in on a bombing mission. Right or wrong, and I'm not going to criticize him either way, you know what he did? He continued unloading the truck and talked about where this was going to go and the people it was going to help. And God has preserved his life thus far, and he has stayed in that country, serving the Lord there. And I believe it's because he has a scriptural basis in his life of trusting what God has said, because it reveals who God is. He has a scriptural perspective that helps him in that situation. And brethren, as we're in the Word of God, he'll give us the same. But not only that, we need to have a scripture priority. A priority of the Word of God in our life. I love it that you folks are memorizing Scripture. Every time I've come here, you have some verses you're working on, and you quote it together. That's great. We need to be doing that. But remember that in persevering, God's plan is step by step. You have to take it day by day. You don't conquer the whole problem at once, and you don't accomplish your life's work in one day. Jesus emphasized that many, many times in Scripture. When he taught us how to pray, many of them call it the Lord's Prayer. I tend to call it the disciples' prayer, because the disciples ask him to teach him to pray. And so he said, here's what you can say. This is a pattern of prayer. It's an outline. He said, give us our, what kind of bread? Daily bread. Daily bread. Focus on today. Fight the battle today. Take it day by day. Let me give you another example in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Again, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the context, he's been talking about how God will provide. And then he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Focus on today. Serving God today, persevering today. And then a third point I want to share with you is the purpose of persevering. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's James 1:4. That will be like Christ. And again, Romans 5:3 and 4, our passage of study today. This process of spiritual growth. It says that perseverance produces character. And again, that's Christ in our life. And then that produces hope. And let me share with you one person who has that today. Her name is Jessica Long. Jessica was orphaned in Siberia as an infant. She was born with fibular hemimelia. She didn't have any ankles or heels, and most of the bones that should have been in her feet were not there. And after much prayer, a Christian couple from Baltimore, Maryland, Steve and Beth Long, adopted her when she was only 13 months old. And a few months later, Jessica's legs were amputated below the knees. Now, growing up, obviously, she could not do what other children did. But she did learn how to swim without prosthetics in her grandparents' pool. At age 10, Jessica joined a swim team. At age 12, she won 3 gold medals in the 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens. Since then, she has completed in 3 more Paralympic Games. Her medal count is up to 13 gold, 6 silver, and 4 bronze. You have a picture of her there in your outline of some of those medals. And she is one of America's most decorated Olympians. She gives glory to God for what's happened in her life. And part of her testimony is this. She says, I was raised the right way, but I still had to come to Christ on my own. Eventually, I decided I wanted to give Jesus my whole heart. It was the best decision I have ever made. And she goes on to say that she realized that God, all along, has had a plan for her life. And she wants to glorify God in all that she did. One thing she had that enabled her to do this is perseverance. To persevere every day of her life by putting on the prosthetics. And then to persevere when she learned to swim and to continue to practice and spend hours upon hours upon hours of doing that very thing. But she continues in her testimony by saying this, I now look at my legs and think of all the people that I've been able to touch because God has made me this way. Embrace who you are. Shine bright and never give up. And when I found that quote, I focused on the last 3 words. Never give up. Persevere. Perseverance through the power of Christ. And God will be glorified. God's being glorified in her life through her testimony. And God seeks and wants to be glorified in your life and mine through our testimony. Yeah, we're not going through what she did, but we're going through something. And God wants us to be those who persevere. So perseverance is one of the keys to spiritual growth. And today we studied about the power of persevering. It produces trust. It produces transformation. The process is that we've got to have a scriptural perspective and a scriptural priority, the Word of God in our life. And then the purpose of suffering is what? To have the character of Jesus Christ, and that produces hope. And hope is catching. You're around people who have hope and who are walking with Christ. They're the ones you want to be around. It just rubs off because it's Christ ministering to us through them, and that's what he wants for every one of us. It's not easy, but it's possible through the power of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's all stand, please. Everybody's standing, and I'm just going to close in a moment with a word of prayer. I want to say as we finish up today that I'm glad you're here, and I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't even know if you're a Christian. With many of you, I do. With many of you, I've heard your testimonies, but I don't know about everyone. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, I just want to share quickly that Jesus died for you. And he rose again from the dead so that you might have eternal life and forgiveness of sin. And if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you can do it right now where you are. Or if you don't want to have some help doing that, there'll be people here or I'd talk to you after the service. I don't want a time to go by without giving you opportunity to trust Christ if you do not know him. But if you do know him and you're walking with him, then you know that what I've talked about today is true, meaning that there are times that we go through tribulation and we need the work and power of Almighty God like never before. He's there for us. He will help us. He hears our prayer. And often our schedule is not his. That's why we've got to continue on. We've got to keep on keeping on. And persevere through the power of the Word of God and the work of God in our life. May it happen with every one of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those who are here today who have heard your word. I thank you that you've given it to us. And I pray that we would have your healing, have your help, and have the hope, which is the confident assurance of your work through your word in our life. So God, may that be the case. May we see our responsibility, which is to obey and to have faith in you. And then we're thankful, God, that you'll work in the ways that you did Job and others as stated in the word that we have studied today. May it be the case so that you'd be glorified, that you'd work in and through each and every one of us. I pray, God, your great blessing and work in Toby's family as he comes back this week and pastors his church, and of all the dear people, God, in this flock, your work in their lives, we pray. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.